I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Good morning, peeps, and welcome to Woke AF Daily with me, your girl, Danielle Moody, recording from the home bunker. Oh, folks, there are just more reports on top of reports that come out to tell us the lengths that Donald Trump, the Trump attorneys, the Trump sycophants, the bought and sold members of Congress were planning to go to in order to hold on to power. Talking Points Memos has in-depth reporting this week on all of the ways that Kenneth Chesbro, John Eastman, and the other Trump attorneys were concocting their plan to have January 6th not just be a day, but weeks, in order to stop Joe Biden from becoming president and stop the peaceful transfer of power that we've had in this country up until January 6th, 2021. I'm so fucking tired, I gotta tell you, of all of these reports. Not because they're not necessary, but because Donald Trump should be in prison and should have been in prison. And all you continue to see as these cases get stalled with their appeals and kicked up to the Supreme Court, for the Supreme Court to pretend that, like, they've never read the Constitution before, and that, oh, well, what is an insurrection, and have never read a dictionary. And then you see, right out in the open, how Donald Trump's attorneys and Donald Trump and all of these members of Congress that voted to decertify the votes of millions of Americans, what their plans were. How is it that Merrick Garland only went after the fucking people with boots on the ground? How is it that it took all of this time to go after some of the architects, and Merrick Garland waited to let the state of Georgia do that? I'm so fucking over everything. And I know, folks, like, I know that we go back and forth, and some weeks I have more energy and, you know, more fire in me than other weeks. And today is just not one of those days. Our justice system is such a fucking setup. It's a setup for rich white men to do whatever the fuck they want. And their friends in power pat them on the back and just sweep their shit under the rug. And with the rest of us, those boulders of shit just roll downhill and crush us. The amount of leeway, the amount of rope these fucking people are given, the amount of consideration. You know, I found myself the other day. I was watching. This is to show you how fucking sick and tired I am. I was watching an episode, an old episode of Law and Order. One of those, you know, stations that marathon them, which is like every station. And I had to turn one of the episodes off because a man, a white man, businessman, was being, you know, interviewed by the cops in his office. And he clearly did illegal shit by moving, you know, this woman's belongings from an apartment that she would later be found to be murdered in. And the cops are just giving this dude like just the benefit of the doubt after benefit of the doubt after benefit of the doubt that I got so fucking enraged I had to change the channel. Because while, sure, Law and Order is fiction, right? It's really not. You see the way those cops will throw up a black person, a Latinx person against a car, beat the shit out of them. And then the white businessman that is always found to have been the murderer or the rapist, they're given more benefits of the doubt than like I even believe exist. And that's how our justice system works. Right? Life imitating art, art imitating life. Like, this is how our justice system works. This is who it was set up for. So how many detailed reports, how many interviews need to be conducted to know good goddamn well the amount of harm that these people have placed on our democracy, on our election system, on our agencies? And they're all walking around free. Why the fuck isn't Steve Bannon in jail? Right? Roger Stone, who was, you know, pardoned by Donald Trump, but we know was wrapped up in other shit, but not charged again. Oh, because we don't want to seem political. Everything that these people have done has been an assault. They are fucking terrorists, but we don't treat them like that because they carry briefcases and wear suits. We don't even have laws on the books to deal with domestic terrorists because it's only the black and brown people that we can see as terrorists. And I would argue that more harm has been done over the last fucking 9 years at the hands of these white men than have ever been done at the hands of foreign adversaries. And I include in that the hundreds of thousands of deaths that were caused via their ignorance around COVID. But we don't talk about any of that. Benefit of the doubt, benefit of the doubt. It's just so fucking sickening. And that's why, folks, it's so incredibly important whenever I get the opportunity to sit down with people that are doing good work, local work, to try and fix what is in front of them. Those are the conversations that give me hope. Those are the conversations that make me realize that sometimes I need to pull back from the national discourse and see what real people are doing as they are rolling up their sleeves, trying to change their states bit by bit. And so we're continuing with our Queer the Vote series, where I had conversations at the Creating Change Conference down in New Orleans last month, and I'm bringing these conversations to you now, of queer folks that are working in battleground states to get as many people out to vote as possible, knowing that they are in some of the most hostile environments. In Florida, in Ohio. And so these are people that I have to remember are doing the work, aren't paying attention to all that is wrong so that they become paralyzed in their hopelessness. They do what they can where they can. And that is just a consistent reminder that I need. Coming up next, my conversation with Sarah Parker, one of those brilliant advocates and activists that are working in battleground states to make this country, their state, safe for LGBTQ folks.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
Came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Folks, I am very happy to be joined as I'm doing these fantastic interviews at the Creating Change Conference in New Orleans. With Sarah Parker, who is the executive director of Women's Voices of Southwest Florida. Sarah, tell me a bit about Women's Voices, about your organization and the work that you all are doing in Southwest Florida.
Awesome. So honestly, our name started because it was me and my best friend. And it would happen in 2021 when an abortion ban was brought to Manatee County, which has no abortion clinics, which would have been a 6-week abortion ban countywide. And we fought that and we won. And eventually we spread out. We have non-binary and we have cis people. We have trans people. It's amazing how many different queer people we have now. So our name is kind of like a lead off. So we are a 501c4. We currently are in Tallahassee working and fighting against a lot of legislation that's happening in Florida. As we all know, Florida is kind of a shit show. And we are seeing... We're seeing them do the worst every year. They are consistently attacking us, and we are now on the grounds, you know, testifying against it and hoping that, you know, they find a heart.
I often say on this show and just in life, it's hard to shame the devil, right? And I believe that Ron DeSantis is, you know, one of the most soulless people I think that I've ever seen be in office. In modern times. And he has done everything from, in your state, from ban African-American history, ban books, ban the dictionary recently. Talk to us about what it's like, just from your perspective, living in this state. Because I think that for people who listen to my show, watch the news, they see the headlines, right? And they're like, ah, I'm safe in my blue bubble. I want people to understand that what is being tested out and being done in Florida can be nationalized if we're not vigilant. So just give us a picture of what it is like to be queer and be in Florida.
So being in Florida is, it's a lot, first off, right? We have children that cannot read. I'm going to talk about being Black first, because, you know, that is how I identify as a Black woman. We have children that cannot read. So to see them go and ban books and ban Black history, our organization has stepped up, and we work together with the pastor, and we go in and teach these Black children about their history. We teach them how to read, because no one is focused on that. We're seeing school boards have culture wars. We hear a lot about Ron DeSantis, but we don't hear a lot about the legislators that are doing the dirty work behind the scenes. Like, for instance, we have Representative Webster Barnaby, which is also a Black man, and he is leading the fight to put Confederate statues back up, a fight that we have all worked very hard to take down, to keep down. Women's Voices specifically worked in Manatee County with Republicans to keep a Confederate statue from going back up after we got it down. We look at that. We look at the abortion ban. The Black maternal mortality rate in Florida is disgusting, and we should be focused on that. But they're using the talking point of saving Black babies, but not having the real conversation that they don't care about Black women or Black people than patients that can get pregnant. Living in Florida is a lot, but you know what? I love Florida. I'm going to say that very confidently. That is my place. That is my town. I chose Florida. I was not born there, and I choose to stay because Florida has fight. Like, people are on the ground consistently working behind the scenes, like us doing tutoring and us talking about activists such as Stokely Carmichael and Angela Davis to these Black young kids, you know, sitting in a room with them. They're from a poor area, and I live in that poor area, sitting in a room with them and realizing they didn't know really what the Underground Railroad was. Really, first off, made me thankful for my family teaching me my history. But sitting in the room with them and then sitting in Tallahassee, it kind of takes you aback, because there are things that we know that everyone would care about. We want all children to read. It doesn't matter what color. We want all children to know their history, be it negative or positive. We need that. We want children to be accepted and loved. And as far as the queer bills, you know, we're facing a bill right now that is going to literally take the identity of trans people. We're facing a social media ban for minors. And these trans and queer kids
have
not
no community.
Have place.
Yep.
They have no community.
And I'm so glad that you said that you love Florida and you chose Florida, because oftentimes, right, again, for people who live in blue states, who live in progressive cities, the common reaction is just leave, right? And I said, well, if everyone leaves every place that is hard, do you know what I'm saying? Then what do? Right? Like, we build up a fortress. Like, so when people say to you, well, just leave, or they should just leave, what is your response to that?
First off, you're privileged. You're privileged. I have two kids. I am a small nonprofit. I'm an executive director. I do all of my work into good, and I don't make a lot, right? I can't just up and upend my children. One of my children that's special needs. You are privileged to be able to say that. You just up and leave from your place. You know what I'm saying? That's bizarre to me. And it's also like, just say you want segregation.
just say that. Because if we were to up and leave, this whole place would turn completely red. There would be no fight, no resistance. And last I checked, again, my ancestors fought and still stayed in the South after we fought. This playbook that they're doing has already been played. And I don't understand why we keep trying to either recreate the wheel or disregard that playbook. I'm not giving up my space, definitely not to a mostly white male legislators. I'm not letting them force me out of my home and my life and my house. And I'm going to fight for the people that cannot leave. Look, like financially, I think it's like 70% live below the poverty line. Do not quote me on that. But y'all take a look at like Florida's poverty line and income level. Like, and that's Black, Brown, and Indigenous people. We can't just all up and leave.
Yep.
It's not going to, you know, it's not that easy. They don't make it that easy. And it's my town. It's where I want to raise my children right now. It's where, you know, I fell in love. I don't have to give that up. And I refuse to. And people need to know across the country, we have fighters on the ground. We have champions. We have champions that should be funded. I mean, we look at abortion access, okay? The abortion access, Florida is the number two in the United States of America. You have, you know, we have blue states that are doing ballot initiatives, which is amazing. But Florida is also doing their own thing, and it's important to highlight that, and we're winning. So, you know, I hate a lot of the time our wins are not publicized.
Yeah.
You did not.
Yeah.
No one ever heard about the 6-week abortion ban. That would have been the first in the United States, brought on by Mark Lee Dixon, who came from Lubbock, Texas. And we all remember about the Texas abortion ban. He brought that same ban to do a sanctuary county instead of city for the unborn, meaning he was able to do the work that he would do for one job and get 8 cities. You don't hear, that's not publicized, that we beat that back. You don't get to hear about the small wins, the resolutions that are passed, you know, great things that are going on in Orlando and all these other organizations that are on the ground, from HOPE to FLIC to Women's Voices to Equality Florida to the National LGBTQ Task Force. There are tons of people on the ground consistently working our asses off. So not only is it like privilege, but it is a slap in the face.
Let me ask you this, you know, because I feel as if in many ways, the Democratic Party, the National Democratic Party, seems to go where it is easy. And they seem to abandon places where it is hard. And I say this, I've said it on cable news, I say it on all of my shows, because I find it problematic. Why do I say this? Because I look at what happened in Georgia, and I looked at the work and the fight and the decades of grassroots initiatives on the ground to turn Georgia blue. They did so without the Democratic National Party. And so when you think about the resources that are needed to be put on the ground, what is it that the Democratic Party needs to be doing in the state of Florida?
You know what? That's a really good question. Can I answer that in two parts?
Go.
Okay, so let's talk about national. You know, you don't, any war that is easily won isn't a war to begin with. You know what I'm saying? You're not actually fighting anything. In Florida, and I'm trying to figure out how to say this in a nice, polite way. Turning your back on your allies in the middle of a war is treasonous. And using Black people and Black women and then leaving them out to dry is treacherous.
Speak on it.
It is very disheartening to see, you know, the National Democratic Party not take our activists up to D.C., but then don't fund the small racists that are out there. That it's disheartening. It's a dog and pony show. We know that. And as a Black person, as Black activist, that happens to a lot of us all the time. You're taken around a room, smiled at, and not given funding, not giving anything your white counterparts might receive, maybe. And it's a thing is that it's look at the state of like look at national. OK, like, yeah, we're starting to pick up on elections again and start to get some seats back. But let's look at the actual state. Nationally, we have people like Marjorie Taylor Greene. We have people like Matt Gaetz, who's going to be running or supposedly going to be running for governor. We have people like Lauren Boebert. That's the Democratic Party's fault. That is the Democratic Party's fault.
Yes, it is.
And y'all, and you know what? Like, I feel that they need to start listening. They need to start listening to their Black constituencies, and not just their Black constituencies that are quote unquote on their level or in their income bracket. I'm talking about the Black people that are on the ground that you're begging for their votes. One of the biggest things that, you know, the Florida Democratic Party, and I'm hoping that they, you know, continue to do and they need to do, is, you know, engaging with people, the BIPOC people. And I don't mean engaging only when you're asking for a vote, and they're trying to get a little bit better about that, but engaging. You don't ask your grandma for $20 before you say, hey, how are you? You don't do that.
Oh my God, that was so good.
I mean, it's real. And I think Black and Brown people understand that, you know, that you become that cousin that always comes around just for something, you know? And that is how I feel like the Democratic Party does. Now, I will say that FDP is getting better under Nikki Fried's guidance. They have a lot of work to do. They have a lot of work to do. And at least it's a little bit better than last year. I hope that that they really take into consideration the trans community, all the marginalized communities, the queer communities, the Black communities, the immigrant communities, the undocumented communities. They really take into account their lives, you know, their lives that are at stake. And they take into account that we are not to be used.
My name is Johnny B. Good. And I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Last question for you, Sarah, is 2024. As we were just stating, as you're just laying out the ways in which that the Democratic Party needs to not just put together a dog and pony show, needs to actually put their money where their mouth is, needs to not turn their backs on their allies. There are a lot of people who are looking at this election who are saying Biden is not my guy. I may sit this one out because I need to vote my values. I'm not with it. What is your response to that?
My great-grandmother told me recently she is not voting, when she's not going to vote for Biden. I was sitting on a panel and someone said the same thing. You know what? I hope that you do just realize, like, I hope that people realize, like, what's really at stake. And I know that we hate compromise first off, right? I personally, and I'm talking like Floridians, I don't care if you vote in the presidential election, but I'll be damned if you miss going to that ballot box. Like, it is important. We have marijuana on the ballot. We have abortion on the ballot. And there are amazing champions fighting on the ground literally as I speak in committee that are going to be on that ballot again. We need to make sure that we vote. And if you don't want to vote in the presidential election, I understand. I'm going to vote. I'm going to vote. And does that mean I'm compromising? Then say that I'm compromising. It's like, again, looking at Florida, even with the abortion, right? It's number two in the East Coast. I'm going to vote in the presidential election because our votes can make or break the lives of millions of people. Just like abortion in Florida, all of the Southeast, if we lose abortion in Florida, the Southeast is screwed. The most marginalized, populated, under the poverty-stricken communities are going to be the ones that are going to feel this ripple effect. And I think that that comes down to the presidential election too. But again, if nothing, your house, Senate, Congress, there's other things, there's ballot initiatives across, you know, the United States. That's why you vote. Your city, you look at overdevelopment, access to water, clean water. Like, these are, and we have access to clean water thing in Florida. These are all very important things that affect your day-to-day life. You just don't notice it. And I hate when people are like, well, I don't do politics, because I do believe that, you know, one of the things I say is that politics gonna do you regardless.
And with that, Sarah Parker, thank you so much for making the time for Woke AF. Thank you for your work. Thank you for your voice. It is so needed and appreciated. Thank you. That is it for me today, dear friends, on Woke AF. As always, power to the people and to all the people power. Get woke and stay woke as fuck.
I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.